In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is First Friday, children. It is also the feast day of one of the saints on our altar. The sanctuary saint in the middle of the gospel side is a patron saint of young people, and his name is Saint Casimir, and we'll talk about him a little bit today. He's a patron saint of Poland and of Lithuania. Those are countries that are very far from here, but some Americans do have heritage. That is to say that some of their ancestors came from those countries. As a matter of fact, there was a lady that came to church the other Sunday, and she's from Lithuania, and she lives in Indiana, rather far away, and she was going to bring her daughter here, I think, to make her first Holy Communion with you children. Today is also the feast day of the five holy wounds of our Lord, and that's symbolized by the Mass. Now, today, St. Augustine in his sermon for today says, now the mysteries are starting. What is a mystery? A mystery is something you see, but you can't understand 100%, and it points to something else that you don't see. For example, the sacraments of the Church, or the Holy Mass, the mystery of the faith. Well, the mysteries that are starting now are all about the Passion of our Lord. You see, it's 3 weeks today exactly until Good Friday. And today we're meant to think of the five holy wounds of our Lord. There are different ways of counting them, you know. Sometimes we count one, two, and then two for his feet. You can't see the feet or else I'd point them out, but I'm in the pulpit. And one, two, three, four, and then five for the wound in our Lord's side. But others count one, two, the wound on his head, the crown of thorns, three, and then four because his feet were crossed over each other with just one nail, and then the fifth wound in our blessed Lord's side that opened up his sacred heart. But in any case, the idea is this, that from out of our Lord's five holy wounds, which is a very beautiful and a good devotion to have, come light, beautiful light. Remember we heard, children, about Our Lady of Fatima and the light that came from her hands and how it made the clouds and the darkness go away and the sun came out? We could use a kind of light like that today, couldn't we? But we need it most of all for the Church, for our families, for our souls. Now, from out of our Lord's wounds come as well water, living water. And if our Lord promises today in the gospel, it's rather a long gospel. You little ones will have to be patient. It's a long gospel, but our Lord makes a promise that if you drink that water, you'll never be thirsty again. The water that comes out from our Lord's side, remember when the soldier opened his side with a lance? That's the Sacred Heart Gospel. There came out blood and water. Well, that water stands for our faith in our Lord. It stands for sanctifying grace. And it stands, of course, too, for the precious blood that washes and refreshes us. How does that work? Through the mysteries of the sacraments, baptism, Holy Communion, that some of you are preparing to receive for the first time. In the epistle today, it's from the Old Testament. It's a story about how when the Hebrews, the chosen people, left Egypt, how they got to be thirsty. And because they were thirsty, they got to be complaining, as probably any of us would do. We would say, well, can't we stop and get something to drink? I'm terribly thirsty. And the idea is for us to stop and think for a minute. Do I complain instead of offer it up, especially during Lent? Probably I do, but I should remember not to. And so because the people are thirsty, God tells Moses, he says, take your staff, and when he takes his staff, that's supposed to make us think about the soldier with his long staff that had a point on it, the spear or the lance, to open our Lord's side. Take your staff and strike the rock. Only Moses was angry. I think he was angry at God, and he was angry at his people, certainly. And he didn't obey Almighty God. Our God said to strike it, so he struck the rock twice. And for that, he was punished. He was not allowed to enter into the promised land. But never mind. What the church wants us to think about today is that when Moses struck the rock two times with his wooden staff, to think about wood times two equals the cross of Christ, which is our salvation. Now, for the gospel, since it's rather a long one, so you have to be careful to sort of offer that up, children. Well, but for the gospel, it starts right around now, at noontime. And Jesus is tired. And he's been out walking and preaching and talking to people all morning long. And he probably hasn't had much in the way of breakfast. And he's tired. And so he sits down on a well, on the kind of the ledge of a well. And it's noontime, as I say. For our sake, our Lord is tired. Our Lord, we're supposed to remember, created us in his power and in his strength, but he redeemed us by his weakness, by being tired for us, by suffering the passion. So it's a Friday and it's noontime. So what should that make us think of? Jesus on the cross. And he sees a woman come. And it's a little bit surprising because usually women didn't go out to draw water. They had to go two times every day because no one had any running water. Usually they would go at dawn and then at sunset. But they didn't go out during the day. That wasn't considered as respectable. But there she was. She was all by herself. And she was a Samaritan. That meant that she was sort of half pagan and half Jewish, sort of a half breed. And the people would have thought, well, what's she doing out in the middle of the day? She should be at home. She shouldn't be outside. And then she's surprised when our Lord sees her, because our Lord says to her, oh, draw me something to drink, won't you, from the well? That was sort of an opening gambit to get the conversation going. But what our Lord really wants to say is, I'm thirsty for your soul. I want to wash it of its sins. I want to save your soul and bring you and everybody home to heaven with me. So then our Lord gets to talking to the lady, and he starts explaining to her about the living water, which would be baptism and sanctifying grace and confession, the seven sacraments. And our Lord starts to make her thirsty. Not, I need some water, thirsty, but thirsty in her heart and in her soul. So she couldn't say no to him. All of a sudden, she thirsts for God so much, and she just cries out. She says, no one ever talked to me before the way you're talking to me. You see, because our Lord makes us thirsty for him, and he's the only one who can satisfy that thirst. Sometimes, children, when people grow up, they get doing all sorts of crazy and wicked things. Sometimes they drink too much, or they use drugs, or they steal, or they sin against holy purity. All sorts of crazy sins that people commit, and they're still never happy and never satisfied. Only when we're with our Lord can we be happy and satisfied. Our Lord put that thirst into all of us. This is the Holy Ghost. It's the water of life. It's always flowing from the day that we're baptized to our very last Holy Communion. And as much as sin and temptation sometimes threaten to make us feel parched and all sort of tired out, the only way to really get an uplift and to be refreshed is to go to Jesus, the water that comes from his sacred heart, from his open side. Now, a good example of all of this, especially for young people, is today's Polish patron saint, Saint Kazimir, because day and night he would pray and he would honor our Lord and his mother. That hymn that we sing sometimes, Daily, Daily Sing to Mary, he loved that hymn very much, and he recited it every day. And at night, he would get up in the middle of the night and he would go to the chapel at the castle. And he had to get outside to get there. And if the door was locked, he would just kneel outside the door in all weather at night to honor Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You know how sometimes at night you get thirsty and you say to your mom or dad, get me a drink of water. Well, he was thirsty for Jesus. Sometimes even adults get up and you want to have a little drink because your mouth is dry. Well, he was dry and thirsty for our Lord. And that's why he made visits during the night, and he went to Holy Communion as often as he could. And when he went to Mass, sometimes he fell into an ecstasy. He was very devoted to the five wounds of our Lord, to the Passion and to the death of Christ. He loved holy purity. He was in the royal court. That means there was a lot of money, and people had time on their hands, which is the devil's workshop, children. And there were an awful lot of people who were important people, and they should have known better, but they would speak very dirty, and they would tell dirty jokes and stories and things, and everybody would sort of snicker and laugh and half go along with it, but not Casimir. He didn't have anything to do with that because he knew it was a sin and it offended Almighty God. Instead, he would offer up his sacrifices, especially the business about during the night, you know, getting up to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, in reparation for the sins that his court committed, and even the sin that his father committed sometimes, his father who was the king. Well, another good example that if you're holy, you're also very useful to people, is that he was a peacemaker. And when he was getting to be a little bit older, there was a chance of having a war. And there are some people who just can't resist a nice war. Whenever they get a chance, they think, oh, let's have a war. That sounds like a great idea. That's how our government is, unfortunately. Just one war after another, which is really a punishment for sin. Well, they were going to have a war, and his father called him one day and he said, Casimir, now's your big chance. You are a prince, and I'm going to put you in charge of an army, and you march down to Hungary and have a nice war there, and you can be the king of Hungary, because they're having a rebellion against their own king, who is named King Matthias. So Casimir was obedient to his father, because he was his father, and he was a king after all. So he gets on his horse, and with his armor and everything as a knight, and he marches down, it's a long ride, from Poland through Lithuania down to Hungary. And when he gets to the border of Hungary, some of the nobles meet him, and they say, Your Highness, excuse us, but we really need to tell you that the king isn't so bad, and there's only a few of the nobles that want to have a rebellion against him, and we would just as soon work things out ourselves, so why don't you go back to Poland or Lithuania, wherever you come from? Well, he thought about it, and he prayed over it, and he thought, well, these nobles are right. I shouldn't be invading that country and starting a war. That's just a wicked waste of life and money, and it would offend God. So he was brave enough to turn around and to go back. His father was very angry at him for not obeying him and leading another war and getting a nation for himself. But he didn't care. He was exiled to a faraway castle month after month. He wasn't allowed to come back to the royal court, but he didn't mind because it was a rather smutty place to live anyway, and he was quite happy in a quiet, isolated castle far away. Children, he's a good example for us of somebody like the Samaritan woman today who got a little taste of the water that Jesus alone can give us. One sip can be so strong that you think, my life can never be the same again. I want to always drink from the water that you can give me from your side, dear Jesus. Here in the Blessed Sacrament, there at the communion rail in Holy Communion, or when I make a visit, when I say a prayer, when I go to confession, when I say my rosary at night, there's so many different ways our Lord comes like a loving father to give his son or his daughter a little sip to drink in the middle of the night. Well, that's probably enough about today's Mass to give you some holy things to think about. Offer your communion, don't forget, in reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and thank him that he makes you thirsty. Ask him to make other souls thirsty again, and ask him to make you always faithful to him, and he'll take care of your thirst. God bless you, children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.